The phrase "stop the press" simply doesn't apply to Leeds United and Liverpool. If you want work rate, tactical nuance and two coaches who've made sub-optimal eyesight cool, this is the game for you. I'm Kevin Hatchard and this is Football Only Better. It's a football war of the roses, and yes, I'm old enough to remember when Liverpool was part of Lancashire. Delighted to say that my regular co-pilot, Mark O'Hare, is here to cast his eye over Sunday and Monday's action. Mark, Leeds 4.6 to take the win, Liverpool 1.8. Now, the interesting thing here is that at time of recording, we don't quite know what's going to happen with this argument between the Brazilian FA and the Premier League clubs, because I guess we should explain what happened was Premier League clubs didn't release Brazilian players to play for Brazil during the international break because Brazil is a red list country and they were concerned that there were going to be quarantines required for those players when they returned to the UK. The way Brazil have responded is to invoke FIFA's five-day rule, which means that all of those players that in theory should have gone and played for Brazil and didn't are banned for 5 days. So, Mark, how much credence do we have to give to this? Because Liverpool could potentially be without their top goalkeeper. They could be without Fabinho as well.
Yeah, I think at the moment we've got to work on the assumption that everything we've heard is correct and present. And whilst the Premier League are trying to fight that ruling, and you know the last thing I've read is that they are going to try and push ahead and allow these players to be available right now, we've got to assume that they're not. And of course, Liverpool will be weakened by losing those two players. But let's also remember Leeds. Leeds will lose Rafinha, who I think is a major blow. And I think if you balance it out, Liverpool's squad is probably strong enough to cope with a couple of absentees. Roberto Firmino was probably going to be missing through injury anyway, I think. I think Leeds losing Rafinha is a big blow. So I think Liverpool are in a better shape than Leeds coming into this game. They were 1.62 closing price here in April at Elland Road. The game ended 1-1. I know, obviously, home field advantage is to be built in now, but we're going to have a raucous Elland Road behind Leeds on Sunday. But I think Liverpool are a stronger team than they were back in April, because that day they had Salah on the bench. They had Fabinho and Kabak at centre-half. This time around, they're going to have Van Dijk and Matip at centre-half, and Salah will start. So even exclude the Brazilian stuff, I think Liverpool are in a better shape than they were the last time they went to Elland Road. Harvey Elliott is probably due back as well. And that day, they drew 1-1 at Elland Road. They generated 2.3 expected goals, had 17 shots, 7 shots on target. They were undoubtedly the better team. They didn't win the match. That happens in football. And we talked about Leeds' improvement, particularly in the early part of this year, particularly when taking on the bigger guns as well. They took 4 points off Liverpool and Man City. But on the balance of play, let's be honest, they were pretty fortunate to take 4 points off Liverpool and Man City. So you don't want to go overboard on just one game, and particularly a game on the opening day. But the way in which Man United just bypassed them so comfortably was quite alarming, really. Calvin Phillips will come back into the team and obviously make Leeds much stronger in that middle area. But even still, we've talked numerous times since the start of last season about Leeds playing these big guns and just being just exposed, really. They averaged, I think, almost 2.5 goals against top six finishers last season. I know at Elland Road they were much stronger, but even still, I still think Liverpool need to be in that conversation for the title challenge. City and Chelsea are getting all the attention right now, but Liverpool are flying nicely under the radar. Yes, they looked a little bit shaky at times against Norwich and Burnley, but they absolutely deserve the points on both occasions, and they're sitting pretty comfortably up towards the top end of the table across all the attacking metrics. So defensively, I think they're stronger, and I think going forward, they've still got three fantastic forwards, and I think the price 1.8 or above is absolutely fair enough for Liverpool winning this game.
Trading and tipping rock star Jason Murphy's with us once again. Jason, what do you make of Liverpool in terms of the title race? Mark was saying there that he feels they should be part of that conversation. A lot of people feel that maybe Chelsea and Manchester City are in a little category on their own. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I'd fully agree with it. They're absolutely part of the conversation, but even if we use the recent game of Liverpool against Chelsea and the way that played out, you'd have to have Chelsea ahead of Liverpool and City ahead of the rest. If it's a 100-metre race, like you see City, you know, 5 metres ahead, you see Chelsea maybe 2-3 metres ahead of Liverpool, and then there's a bit of a gap back to United and the rest. So Liverpool definitely in the conversation. Van Dijk coming back is a massive plus. I think they're right where they are in the betting, third in the betting. Chelsea and City are just better teams at the moment. In relation to this game, Marcus hit the nail on the head. I don't like the way the Brazil FA have named certain players and haven't called out Richarlison to be banned for the 5 days because he played in the Olympics, and apparently there's a bit of goodwill there between Everton and the Brazil FA. I mean, it's either, you know, you want your players to get into a World Cup or you don't. Now, Brazil, like, they're top in the group. They're going to qualify for the World Cup anyways. I think part of this, I think they're right to do it in a way in terms of, you know, not Brazil, but countries that really need these players to get to these World Cups. You know, it's not right not to have them travelling and playing in these massive games. And part of that is the way FIFA have the calendar. I know we all have to adjust to COVID, but part of it is the rules in England as well, in the UK around quarantine. So, you know, it's a bit odd though to Brazil to whinge about all these players, but to Anno Richarlison, you're all right. Like, you know what I mean? It's either you're saying players should be released, let them all be released, or not. Like, you know, if that's the point you're trying to make, otherwise it's just a bit petty really, to not include Richarlison. But for this game, if you look at the goalkeeper, look, you'd be concerned if it's Adrian in, but if it's Kelleher, that's fine. Bit of experience for him, he'll be fine. Fabinho, I don't think started the first couple of games, and if you look at the Liverpool midfield, you're still going to possibly have Henderson. Naby Keita has started in there. You have Thiago to come in, so the midfield is fine. And even if Firmino was fit, I think the front three, you'd have Jota for this game in particular, yeah, starting up top. So all that's fine. We've seen a little bit of a reaction in the market. Like, Liverpool were a bit shorter last week than this current 1.8. We're aware that Rafinha missing for Leeds falls into this as well, so that kind of offsets maybe a bit of the Alisson and the Fabinho. Delighted for the Leeds fans. I was in the airport a couple of weeks ago where met a few Leeds fans, had the scarves on, they were heading over to Everton, and it's their first time attending a Premier League game since 2004. I know there was a few fans let in for West Brom, but there's a lot of Irish Leeds fans, and, you know, to get over for those games on the Saturday, and yeah, the noise, I say, is going to be absolutely rocking at Elland Road, and that's probably going to bring me to my last point on it. I think the 1.8 is about fair enough, and you don't always have to have a bet. And if any game in particular where you can just watch for pure entertainment, I think this is going to be one of them. So it's going to be a cracker, so enjoy it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Certainly it'll be a passionate affair. Master of the XG robots, Jake Oscarthorpe from InfoGoal, has been casting his eye over the numbers that matter. Jake, how do you see this one?
Yeah, very, very little to add, really. I'm on board with both guys in terms of backing Liverpool to win. I think that their price is just too big. Mark made a really good point that when they met at Elland Road a couple of months ago, they were shorter than this price, and their team this weekend will probably be better than the team last weekend, whereas Leeds were probably slightly weaker. So, looking forward to the game. It should be a good game. I think Leeds, as Mark said, against the better teams last season, did leave themselves quite exposed just purely through their approach. They play a high press 1v1. And against the better teams that have better individuals that can bypass that press, as we saw Manchester United do time and time again on the opener, they get torn apart. And it resulted in some, you know, heavy defeats last season. Obviously, it started with a heavy defeat this season. And I think Liverpool can inflict another heavy defeat on them this time round. So, Liverpool to win just looks a really good price. And a few question marks about Leeds. I know it's early on in the season, but the way in which their attack isn't clicking just yet. We speak about Rafinha potentially not playing. That's an even bigger blow. In the three matches, they've only averaged 1.1 expected goals for per game. And they've played against Burnley, who are a team that we expect to be in and around the relegation zone. And Everton at home in front of a rocky Elland Road. So we would have expected slightly better there. And obviously at Manchester United, Man United aren't exactly a stubborn defensive unit. A little bit disappointed there. And defensively, we know that they are vulnerable just in the manner in which they play. So the only thing that made them finish in the top half last time round was the fact that they were creating better chances and more chances than they were conceding. And again, small sample size, but as the season started, they're allowing more chances than they're actually creating, which is a little bit of an issue. And if they carry on at this rate, I don't think they'll be relegated. They're too good to go down, but they'll struggle to replicate a top half finish.
Mark, just one more on this game. I was looking at some of the figures, and in terms of the intensity of their press, I think Leeds and Liverpool are in two of the top three in terms of, it's called PPDA, passes per defensive action. It's basically how many passes you can play before somebody disrupts your play. What does that mean generally for a market that you keep an eye on, cards markets? If you've got teams that like to press and so there's a lot of contact, a lot of challenges, what does that generally mean for cards? Is that a kind of measure that you use when you're looking at how violent a game might be? Do you like a bit of violence, Mark?
I do like violence. You like saying this on the podcast every weekend. Yeah, make me sound like a madman.
Yeah, yeah. Mark will always choose violence, and that's fine. That's why we like him.
It's not something I've done to sort of correlate between PPTA and cards. I certainly look at fouls and tackles, and PPTA should probably be built into that as well. It's not something I've actually kind of evolved to just yet, but certainly the more aggressive you are in your press, the more likely you are to make fouls, miss time tackles as well, and certainly pick up cautions. We've seen an increase in cards per game in the Premier League this season compared to last. I think that's only natural with the supporters coming back. However, there is also the instruction from the officials, certainly which we saw in the Euros, which is carried into the Premier League as well for leniency too. So it's kind of one I'm keeping an eye on at the moment. So just kind of waiting until probably around the October international break to have a bigger sample, just to see where we're at in terms of cards per game and how games are flowing and which referees are being quite stringent and which are being quite soft towards things, because it's been quite erratic in that sense so far. So I just want a bigger sample, but it's certainly something I'm going to build into my thinking going forward, because the data is now freely available, which we can go and have a look at, whereas in previous campaigns you probably have to pay a decent whack to try and get access to that kind of high level detail. So yeah, certainly I think I think it's only natural really, the more aggressive you are in your press, the more likely you are to sort of pick up fouls and miss time tackles and therefore get cards.
Now everyone loves
just
a bit of...
Just
that,
oh, actually,
Jason, go on. Yes.
I don't know if Mark bets with this bookmaker, but I was doing a bit of research on the Russian League a couple of years ago. And obviously you check local bookmaker sites for prices as a gauge. And we at the Betfair Sportsbook, we have a market odds on that, which is a couple of different things to happen within a game, corners, cards, etc. But I translated the equivalent on this Russian bookmaker site, and the English translation of it was, instead of odds on that, what they call it was, let's argue.
So I like that. That feels like it might be a new section for the podcast, let's argue. I quite like that. Yeah, we'll work on that. That sounds like it's going to be quite good fun. Now, we know it's frustrating when you get frozen out of a bet, so Betfair's offering no cash-out suspensions on match odds markets on the sportsbook, even during VAR reviews or when there's a penalty. Now, we all love a bit of Monday night glamour, and we've got some this weekend, because in-form Everton face Burnley at Goodison. Everton, the 1.8 favourites here. And it's been a decent start for Rafa Benitez. Now, all three of these guys are desperate to talk about this game, but I'm only going to pick one of them. Who am I going to make talk about this game? Jake, there you go. I'm going to make you talk about Everton against Burnley. What should we be looking at here?
Everton to win.
Okay.
Keep it short and sweet. Yeah, they're... For me, the you know, we spoke about it quite a lot last season. The under Ancelotti, they started the season really well from an underlying numbers standpoint, and then for whatever reason, they reverted to a very defensive-minded approach that saw their attacking process completely drop off. And they ultimately deserved to finish mid-table, and perhaps should have finished in the bottom half. What we've seen early on, again, it's a very small sample, just three matches. But we've seen a drastic improvement under Rafa Benitez, both in attack and defence. They're creating more and better chances regularly. And you could argue they've done that against, you know, decent opposition. Barring Southampton, I think Leeds and Brighton are two teams that we rate quite highly on this show in terms of at least being the top 13 in the Premier League. And, you know, they've gone to both Leeds and Brighton, won the XG battle quite considerably, looked very, very assured defensively, but also created plenty of good chances. So I'm really looking forward to see how they can actually develop and progress and what they actually can achieve this season. Because I think, you know, there's a lot made about their summer signings. It's just, you know, Damari Gray and Andros Townsend. But they've actually added quite a new dimension to Everton in the fact that they're both quite direct. When they pick the ball up, they both get the head down and travel towards goal. They both like putting early crosses into the box, which is obviously something that Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison thrive off. And that's what we're seeing so far. We're seeing them get the ball from back to front very quickly, and it causes teams a lot of problems. So, you know, you'd think Burnley are, you know, well-equipped to deal with that kind of approach. But, you know, the front four in particular there, if we think Richarlison is going to play in this, they're very dangerous and they're very lively as well. And with that double pivot of Allen and Decore, they've got a really solid base, have Everton moving forward. So I'm quite excited to see what they can achieve, how far they can go, whether they can actually challenge for a top six finish. But yeah, in this game, they're playing against a Burnley team that have struggled so far defensively and in attack. I was expecting a bit more from them going forward this season. They finished last season quite well from an attacking standpoint. But defensively, they've been, you know, quite porous. They've allowed around 2 expected goals against per game. And Everton should have a little bit too much, in my mind, to, you know, for Burnley, especially at home. So the price of around 1.8 looks very good to me. I'm happy to back Everton. And, you know, if you want a slightly bigger price, I wouldn't put anyone off backing a Merseyside double this weekend.
So I'm more excited about that game than I was when Jake started that. So that's good work from Jake.
Just to give a line there actually on Everton as well, if you're looking for a season.
Oh, you all want to talk about Everton Burnley now. I thought nobody wanted to talk about it. Now you all do. Go on
I'll
then,
be
Jason.
Honest, Kev, when you said glamorous on Monday night, I thought you were going to talk about Married at First Sight UK.
Oh, what a show. We have not got time to talk about how amazing that show is, unfortunately.
If you've been watching Love Island, there's a hole there at 9 o'clock now. Monday the Thursday, this will fill it. It'll fill the gap, lads. But no, in terms of Everton for the season, Jake has hit the nail on the head there and their process has been excellent the first 3 games. Like, if you look up top, Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, there's goals. That centre midfield of Allen and Decore is fantastic. 2 of the best fullbacks in the league in Digne and Coleman. And there hasn't been many managerial changes from last season, but Benitez coming to Everton is one of those managers that has actually, in our book, would improve a team, would improve a club. So the market I'm going to tell you is the betting without the big six. We probably won't have that market next year because of the way Arsenal are going. But the betting without the big six, we've Everton at 9-2 on the Betfair Sportsbook, which is quite generous. And one angle to throw in on top of that is Leicester, West Ham have Europa League commitments this season. Will cost you points. For example, West Ham are going to Dynamo Zagreb next Thursday, when then play Man United at home the following weekend. It's definitely going to impact over the course of the season the amount of points that Leicester and West Ham pick up. So Everton under Benitez, with those players and processes, at 9-2 to finish the best of the rest is a very good price, I think, at the moment.
Spain now then, and a Sunday game that all three of the guys have picked out, which is the champions Atletico Madrid visiting Espanyol. Atleti priced to evens for the win. Mark, that seems like a sensational price to me.
Yeah, it is. It feels very big. And I certainly like Atleti for this weekend. Just want to start on Espanyol, though, because they did spend just one season in Segunda. The squad was always too good for that league, and they won the league with room to spare, really. And they're expected to consolidate this year, you know, with the squad they have available to them and the coach that brought back-to-back promotions of Mallorca and then brought Espanyol back to the top flight as well. But they've disappointed me so far. Failed to score in their first 3 games. They've only taken 2 points. And the opposition, Osasuna, Mallorca, Villarreal, you know, it's not the hardest of schedules to come into the season, but certainly in Osasuna and Mallorca's case, they are very well organised. They work from a very strong foundation. They try to utilise set pieces and just grind teams down. And certainly that's what Mallorca did to Espanyol in their game before the international break. They won 1-0. But yeah, so far Espanyol are yet to create a big chance, and averaging just 5 shots in the box, which is generally really poor. And obviously when you're coming up against Atletico Madrid, who are effectively Osasuna and Mallorca, but on steroids really, just defensively superb. We know all about their ability to you know, deny teams opportunities in the final third. They're not going to change from that. And their record in this kind of patch is super strong as well. Their odds on in 13 of their 19 away La Liga games last season, and they won 9 of those 13. Now they're going away to a newly promoted team. Admittedly, not a usually kind of newly promoted team. Espanyol should be looking towards the mid-table. But even still, they're even money. And if we look at their last 50 away games, the bottom half finishes over the last 5 seasons, Atleti have won 30 of those, which is a 60% hit rate. If you turn that 60% hit rate into implied odds, you'd get 1.67. They've only lost 4 of those 50 games as well. And already this season, they've gone to Celta Vigo and won, despite admittedly not impressive. They've still got the win. Suarez is a doubt. Simeone's basically said if he's not 100%, he won't play. But look, you've got Antoine Griezmann just arriving as well, and just had a great international break with for France as well. So yeah, I do like Atleti at the price. I think even money is far too big. But if you want to be a bit more cautious, Atleti minus a quarter on the Asian handicap at around 1.74 is also very, very good. The goal expectancy for this match is very, very low. I think it's set around two. So obviously the draw is a big runner there for. So just gets you a little bit more cover if the game does end double square. But ultimately, I expect Atleti to win.
Jason, there's an interesting general point here, I think, about Atletico Madrid, because they agreed with this deal that La Liga have done with CVC, with this financial institution, that they've effectively sold off 10% of the rights, and so CVC will get a portion of the audiovisual rights going forward. Real Madrid and Barcelona, and I can understand why, said, we don't want to do that. We don't want to effectively be locked into a deal that's 50 years long. But because they haven't done that, and because they still have financial problems, certainly Barcelona's are bigger than Real's, but they do both have financial difficulties. Atleti have actually had a short-term financial boost, and we've seen them bring in Griezmann. We've seen them keep Joao Felix. They have incredible options going forward now, and still a very solid base behind that. So they do look the strongest team in Spain right now, don't they?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to hit the nail on the head. There was a very funny tweet going around there last week about how Atletico Madrid sold to Barcelona, they sold Griezmann for over 100 million for Luis Suarez for the La Liga title and Griezmann. Like, you know, yeah. it was crazy how Barcelona is so badly mismanaged, and it's reflective in the window. But Atletico Madrid on the exchange are 4.3 to win the La Liga title. They're third favourites in the betting. Now, they are the current champions, so like they've won the league last season. Defensively last season, in terms of XG against, okay, they gave up about 32 goals worth of chances, and actually only conceded 25. So even only giving up the 32 goals is phenomenal, but only conceding 25 because you have Anna Oblak between the sticks is excellent. Then you look at the transfer business. Offensively, they weren't great. I think they were only the fifth best for XG attacking output last season in La Liga. But they bought in Griezmann, they bought in Kuna, and Rodrigo de Paul from Udinese is a phenomenal signing as well.
Yeah.
So offensively, they're going to improve. They looked so good against Villarreal last week. Thomas Lemar, big money a couple of years ago. He looks on it now as well. So
he looks good in that midfield role, doesn't he? That kind of more central role, yeah.
He gets a bit of pace, bit of space, picks up the ball, and he'll make things happen. So Atletico Madrid, they won the league last year and they've improved. Whereas Barcelona, there's no one is going to say Barcelona are better off after the transfer window. They're worse. We know they're so much worse.
Yes.
And Real Madrid, like, I think it was all for show, this money they were putting up for Mbappe. Real Madrid in the transfer window, all essentially they've done is Varane and Ramos are gone and David Alba's come back in. So it's not even break even at best. So like Madrid, Barcelona, I think they're worse off than last year. Atletico Madrid are better than last year. They won the league last year. 4.3 on the exchange for Atletico Madrid at the moment is one of the best bets out there. And it's kind of, I don't know if the outright's been feeding off the match prices, because Mark's got very good reasons why the match price is wrong at the moment. Outright markets in general are quite slow to react to the match market prices. So even when the match market eventually corrects in the next couple of weeks on Atletico, the outright could still be a bit slow to correct. But you just can't have them twice the price of or bigger like than Real Madrid at the moment. It just does not make sense.
Yeah, I have to say that seems like an absolutely tremendous bet. Worth remembering as well, our fantastic multiples offer is running every day. Bet £20 on multiples or bet builders and receive a £5 free bet to use on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. We're going to go to Italy to finish with, because Jake, you've got a couple of games that you want to have a look at.
Yeah, the two late games on the Sunday. It's a cracking card, really. Roma playing Sassuolo. Two teams that finished as top eight last season are both quite high-powered attacking teams, even with Jose Mourinho at Roma, and AC Milan Lazio as well, which is a real early-season corker. Obviously, Lazio now managed by Maurizio Sarri, and they look really exciting to follow this season. They've kept the bulk of their squad together. Ciro Immobile is still there, which is a huge plus, and they're forming into Sarri's vintage 4-3-3 system that he did so well with Napoli, and they've been really exciting to keep an eye on. They're creating loads and loads of chances, but obviously, as you would expect, because they're quite weak defensively, they're conceding a fair few as well. So I'm looking at both teams to score double in both matches, which comes out around 2.2 on the sportsbook, or 6-5. Roma have looked really, really impressive going forward. Tammy Abraham's been excellent since he's arrived there. And it's nice to see Jose Mourinho almost take the handbrake off a team and just let them go out and attack, because they've got a lot of attacking talent there at Roma. And Sassuolo, equally so. They look really dangerous in the first game this season. They've obviously performed really well last season and caused a few upsets on the way to a decent finish. And AC Milan have picked up where they left off last season. They were really, really impressive over the course of the campaign based on the underlying numbers. And they should be able to breach Lazio, but still some issues for Milan to sort defensively. I'm thinking it's going to be a very entertaining Sunday evening in Italy with those two matches. So both teams to score double in Roma Sassuolo, AC Milan Lazio.
Yeah, very exciting league, Serie A, and it has been for several years. I think some people still have this view that it's defensive and tactical, but it's actually a lot more chaotic these days, and that's what we love to see. That's all we have time for on this edition of Football Only Better. Please do remember to gamble responsibly. We want your feedback to make the show even better, so take our short listener survey by clicking on the link in the show description. From Jason, Jake, Mark and me, it's goodbye for now.